and it's time to review those goals again. You know, we're 2 months into the year, completed, and where do you stand with those goals? As you know, I always talk about goals. They're the most important thing. There are things that we have to have established to get our goals set. But once our goals are set, they're the most important things. They should be what drive you every day. Recognize from the very beginning, one of my favorite questions to ask a business owner is, what's your why? Why are you doing this business? What makes you get up in the morning and go do it? And if you can't answer that, then you've got to go back and reevaluate it. Once you have your why done, my next question is going to be, okay, what's your exit strategy? Now that you have an exit, now that we know what your why is and you have an exit strategy, now you're ready to do your business. And what happens in between is with one goal, now you have a long-term goal, and that's that exit strategy. Now we back it up into our medium and short-term goals. Short-term goals are going to be generally 90 days, as I say. And you're going to have a year, you're going to have two or three goals every 90 days that you want to get accomplished. You're going to have a year-long goal, which is going to be kind of the what you're looking to accomplish each year. You should set yourself a three-year, maybe a five-year plan, depending on where you want to take this business. And it also depends on your age, your work-life balance. What do you want to do? Do you want to work for 10 years and then quit? Be able to quit? Sell your business? Do you want to turn it over to family? Do you want to? I've talked to some business owners that they're happy enough to keep working until the day they die. They want to be able to keep working till that time, and that's it. When they end, the business ends. That's okay. That's a determination you have to make. I would suggest you talk about it with your family if you have a family, and if you don't, then you're fine. But when we start looking at goals, the important piece that you have to look at is that they have to be measured constantly. That if you're not measuring your goals on a regular basis, you have no idea where you are. We're now 2 months into the year, and I could break it out into days, hours, minutes, seconds. Who cares right now? But if you take it, you're 2/12, which is 1/6. So now we have to take the numbers that we set in our goal, assuming that those numbers are either the number of clients you wanted to add or the bottom line, how much revenue you wanted to have for the business. We had to set those up now to say, okay, based on a 12-month cycle, I'm 1/6 or 2/12 into that. Take my number, my gross number for the entire year, divided by 12, multiplied by 2, and I should be in par to see where my numbers are. And if they're not there, I've got work to do. If they're better, great. Pat yourself on the back and get moving to keep going. But if they're not where they need to be, then you have to figure out what's not working and why is it not working. And is it I'm just not being productive enough, or my thoughts and processes not working? Is there something that I need to reinvent and redesign? These are all issues that have to be designed for. As I started the show out, my original goal here, and we will get to this, was to talk about time management. But my day has gone kind of askew, and which leads into the time management piece. And then because it's the beginning of the month, I said, well, we've got to talk about goals. That's something we absolutely have to talk about. And then I've run into this situation more than once the last couple of weeks where I've talked to a client that isn't quite sure why they're doing this. They had a good why when they started 10 years ago, 5 years ago, doesn't matter, even yesterday. But now things have changed, and for some reason, shape, or form, their why is not as strong as it was, or they may need just to go back and reinvent it or redefine it, because your why is what leads to your mission and vision. And I was talking to a coaching friend of mine. She made mention that she was talking to a potential client, and she had looked at she'd looked up on their website on what their mission and vision was. And she asked, she says, how are you doing toward, or how did you come up with your mission and vision? And he says, well, I wasn't exactly sure what it meant or what they were doing. So I went and looked online for something that I liked, and I put it in there. That's not the way you do it. And maybe you're wondering why you're having issues and problems. So it's one of those things that you have to recognize. Once you know what your why is, then you have to take move forward on that, and that creates your mission and vision, and from that you get your goals. So we'll be back here in just a couple of minutes. We've got a break here coming up. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, and you're listening to OT on OTR FM on Ohm Times Radio. Again, I am the business therapist. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on iOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
Being a radio host on iOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
This is OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish. I am the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR FM. As we were saying at the in the first section here, we're talking about goals and the importance of having your why and understanding what your why is and how that will lead you to your mission and vision. And from your mission and vision, you can develop and design your goals. Again, very important strategy. Today's March 1st. It's the perfect time, again, to review. I believe that you review every month, if not every week, depending on what your goals are and what type how you're selling. I mean, you should set some basic goals that you're going to reach out and, you know, you've got to look at what your conversion rate is. So for every 100 people you talk to, you get 10 to listen to you. And out of every 10 that you present your product, you sell 5. Okay, great. So now that you know that you close 50% of the ones you talk to, but you only get 10% of the people you contact, how many people do you need to contact to meet your goals? That's a decision and calculations that you have to sit down and make. So if you're going to say, okay, my goal is to close 5 people every week, fine. If I'm going to close 5 people every week, and you know you have to talk to 100 to get 10, which will get you 5, there's your setup. You have to figure out in a 5-day period, I'm assuming 5 days, that means you have to talk to 20 people a day. Now that translates into positive or negative on a daily basis. Let's say day one, you get to talk to 19. So day two, you have to talk to 21. And if day two, you didn't talk to 21, you talked to 18. Now all of a sudden, you've got day three and you got 24 you got to deal with. So you got to keep those numbers in mind and constantly moving forward. On the other hand, the thought process is, okay, I contacted 23 people day one. That means I only have to do 17 people the next day. And I says, no, I would disagree with that. You still want to do 20. Because then come Friday and you've contacted 90 people, you have two choices. You can contact 10 and be done if you've met your goals. or you can contact 20 more and get ahead of your head of the game. And remember, contacting 100 people to get 10 is your initial goal, and from that you get 5. So if you get, let's say, the question you have to determine then is, when I get a call 100, do I stop when I get 10 or do I keep going? If I call 20 people and I get 10, what do I do with the remaining 80 people I said I'd call this week? That's something you have to sit down and figure out. But in my thought process, unless you've made the goal for the year, you're going to keep going. And even when you've made the goal for the year. Now, does that lower your stress? Of course it does. It means you don't have to worry as much. You've got, obviously, I'm assuming your goal is what kind of money you're expecting to make for the year. And who wouldn't like to have made it in the first quarter or the first month? If you know, if you close 10 deals a year because of whatever market business you're in, and you close 10 deals in the first quarter, what do you do the rest of the year? Well, you have two choices. You go take the rest of the year off if you're in a position to do that. I don't recommend it. Or you keep moving forward and increase those goals and keep trying to close more business. The problem being is, if you do decide to take the 3 quarters of the year off, what happens when you come back in January? First of all, you're out of the habit of doing it. You've got people you're calling on that may not remember you, or that are new, or that I can go on, and there are lots of reasons. So you've got to get that in your mind, that your goal is just a arbitrary kind of point for you to aim for. Your goal, and of course, the results you're looking for, is to get above that. You want to go more than that, because that'll increase your goal. And I'm assuming, too, that the bottom line of the goal, of course, in this particular case we're talking about, is financial. That if you contact 50 people and sell half of them out of we started with 100 and said 10, and you close 5. But let's say you end up with 50 out of that 100, and you close half of them, that's 25. What's that do to your income, if this is all generally related to your income? So those are all different issues as to why I believe that goals are probably one of the most important factors you have to do. Within line, and again, as I always do in any type of goals class that I do, you have to have the why, you have to have your mission and vision, and they all have to be in line with each other. And you can't just go look them up on the internet. It's got to be something written from the heart. Your why should be something written from the heart. Why am I doing this? Well, I'm doing this. Why do I do this radio show? I do this radio show to benefit my audience, to help people learn and become better business people. Why am I a coach? I love coaching. I love helping other people. And of course, the real why is the benefit of my family. My kids are grown. They're on their own. I have a wife and been married almost 41 years now. And my why has always been her. And and when I had kids at home, they were my why. And my kids are still my why to some degree, but they're now supporting themselves. And when the time comes, they get to support me. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, your why has to be very personal. I mean, it has to be. And the more you write out your why, I'd write it out on paper. I'd write it out in pictures. If you have a vision board, or you know what a vision board is, I'd put a vision board in your office with your why on it. And I'd go back and look at it. You know, what else is part of your why? You know, is your why a nice big house with already paid off, or a second home somewhere, or to be able to travel whenever you want to? I know people that have developed their business that when they want to go take a vacation, they go. A gentleman I ran into last year sometime on the golf course, he had sold his business and had invested wisely, and basically had decided he was in his 40s, decided he was going to retire and play golf whenever he wanted to. And that, more power to him. But he had no family, and he got to do whatever he wanted to, and he could go wherever he wanted to when he wanted to. Now, I haven't seen him since then. I didn't really know him. I met him on the golf course. Is that, that's perfect for him, maybe. And I'd be interested in a year later, or 2 years later, or 3 years later, to find out, is that still what you want to do? Or by then, have you gotten the bug or the idea to get to go into business and do something else? I met a gentleman here a couple of months ago, and I'm still kind of working with him in helping him. He's looking for a business to buy. He's got he's divorced. He's got three girls, and they're all teenagers, and he has custody. So his life is full, but he sold his last business, and he's looking to buy another business for that he can basically rebuild and in approximately 7 years sell, which by that time his kids will be out of the house, and he'll be on his own again, and then he can go do what he wants to do. More power to him. And I have no doubt in my mind that whether I help him or somebody else will help him, he will find a business to buy. So it's just, you've got to figure out what your why is, and then figure out from there what your mission and vision is, your mission and vision, I'll say that clearer, to make that happen. Now, as I had mentioned earlier at the top of the show, one of the things I had wanted to talk about, and we will talk about that here eventually, is time management or time strategies. I hate calling it time management because you can't really manage time. So what we'll do after the station break here in a few minutes, we'll go in and I'll delve back into the program I had planned to do today and talk about time strategies and give you some hints and tips on how to make better use. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. There's all sorts of ideas. Some work, some don't work, at least for me. You have to determine what works for you, and you have to make it a habit. You have to do it on a regular basis. It can be very difficult to do at times, and you've got to decide. You've got to weigh things that are important in your life to make them work. But going back to the idea, before we go to break here in just a moment, of setting your goals based on your mission and vision, again, all that boils back to your why. And as I said, the other thing I always ask my clients is, what's your exit strategy? Where do you want to be? And when do you want to get there? So, and some of this can be depending on your age, and none of this is written in concrete. In fact, it's probably written in quicksand in some cases. If you're 25 years old and I ask you, what's your exit strategy? You may not know. You may not have even thought about it. Why do I need an exit strategy? I'm just getting into business. Well, you need an exit strategy to give you a finish line to cross. If I'm going to tell you that you're going to run a marathon, you know a marathon is a little over 26 miles, and you know exactly where the finish line is going to be and that you can quit. But if I just say, let's go run a race, oh, I haven't decided how long it's going to be or when we're going to quit, what's that do? There's no incentive to get there. Whether it be a 5K or a 10K or a marathon, there's no incentive if you don't have some details behind it. So the importance of an exit strategy is also to how to build your goals towards that exit strategy, because your goals should always be built towards the exit strategy. If you're 25 years old and you're starting a new business and you think it's going to be a gangbusters, and I hope you do if you're starting this business, where do you want to be in 10 years or 15 years? Do you want to be considered a Fortune 500 company and on the New York Stock Exchange, or do you want to have been bought out by some other company and sitting back and counting some money that you just made, you know, millions or billions of dollars because your business was successful? Or are you happier just having a small operation that is somewhat localized and maybe you get your family involved? These are all decisions that kind of have to be made. If you're already involved in a business, particularly a family business, there's all sorts of issues that have to be directed to. Because as you get older, are you bringing your children into the business? Do your children want to be part of the business? Is just because you wanted to join the business or maybe didn't have a choice, are you going to do the same thing to your kids? And how did you feel about it when the time came and you were semi-forced into the business? I know people that have gone into the business, didn't like it, left, and came back 5 years later and loved it. And yet then other times people have always intended, I'm going to take over my dad's business. As soon as I can, I want to take over. And that sometimes gets difficult for dad because dad may not be ready to quit. So there are all sorts of issues here that have to be resolved. And that's why I believe it's extremely important for an exit strategy. And it has to be written down. It just can't be something that's thought about in the back of your mind. So again, we're talking a little bit about goals. When we get back from the break, we're going to delve into the time strategies, time management, if you want to call it, which I don't like. But you're listening to the Elliot Jalisch Hour. I am Elliot Jalisch. I am the business therapist. And you're listening on OTR FM radio, and we'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned, please.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM radio network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Join Elliot Jalisch, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jalisch Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jalisch Hour.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Elliot Jalisch Hour. I am Elliot Jalisch, the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR FM Radio. As we were talking earlier in the show, I kind of circumvented my original program and was going to talk about time strategies, which we're going to get to in a moment. And I started talking about the fact that it's March 1st and it's time to review those goals. So we've talked about that. And I know if you listen to me on a regular basis, you get tired of me talking about goals, but I can't stress enough how important I believe all of this revolves around it. And even in time strategies or time management, there are very important pieces that you have to understand. And goals is one of them. It's an extremely important piece of any type of time strategies that you take to create a better lifestyle. I mean, the whole idea of what I'm trying to recommend to y'all is a better work-life balance. You have to figure out, though, what's it take? I can't do that for you. You have to define both in your work and in your personal life what's most important to you. If you're starting a new business, and the most important thing is getting this business running, your home life may suffer. But you have to recognize that ahead of time somewhat. And if you have other members of the family that are involved or that look up to you, you may need to make sure they're aware of what's going on and why it's happening, and that and keep that thought process. You've got it. Even with all that said, you have to take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, you have no business. I talk to clients all the time that have no thought process behind the idea. They work long hours. Sometimes family suffers. Sometimes it doesn't, because the family's involved and they understand. The lifestyle they've generated for them from a financial standpoint is good. But their balance with work life is so out of skew that they don't know how to relax, that they don't know how to take care of themselves. They may not be healthy. They may not be eating healthy. They may not be exercising and taking care of themselves. These are all important factors when you're looking at time strategies and time management. And all of this boils down to basically three things, and that's, in my sense, is that you have to have a great attitude. And if your attitude, everybody says, do I need an attitude adjustment? Or, you'll talk to people, and I said, or you hear somebody says, I've got a lousy attitude, or he's got a lousy attitude. Why is that? What's not working that's causing that attitude problem? That's step one that you have to look at. Then you've got to look at your skills. And if you've got weaknesses in your skills, you need to work, do whatever is necessary to improve those skills. And of course, the next thing is the goals. But I can't tell you how important your attitudes are in becoming successful. And I mentioned earlier having a vision board for your why. I think it's very important that you have a vision board just for your goals, and that your attitude reflect that vision board. When you do that, it helps set you in the right mind state that what you're trying to accomplish can be done. And these are all very important factors. And you've got to recognize that from a time standpoint, everybody has the same amount of time. And if you were in one of my classes or something, I would tell you, one of my favorite things to challenge people with is that imagine I'm giving you $86,440 for today with one stipulation. You can't save it, can't put it in the bank. You can only spend it. And what you spend it on can only be things that you use up. So you can't go buy a car with it. You can buy gas for the car, but you can't buy the car. So you can't have an asset when you're done. And then tomorrow I'm going to give you another $86,400 and the next day and the next day. And what I'm actually talking about now is time. You have 86,440 seconds a day to use how you see fit. You can't get them back. You can't store them for a rainy day. You can't put them aside and use them later. The second that just went by me right now is gone. I can't go back and get it again. I can't relive it. If conceivably we ever do have time travel, all this discussion is for naught, because we could go back and relive anything we wanted to until we live it the way we think is right, the way. But how do you know what's right? I've had people say, because of they know some of my history, and I'm not going into it on here, but they say, if you could go back and make any changes, what would you change? And I truthfully can't answer that. I don't know, because I know where I am right today. I like 99.99% of everything. But if I went back and changed that 0.01%, and that number is probably ridiculous. I mean, there are a few other things I'd like to have different. But if I change that, what else would change? You don't know. Things could be even worse than they are now, and they're not bad. Things could even be better than they are now. Same thing. They're not bad now. Can they be better? Of course they could be better. Could they be worse? Absolutely could be worse. So, going back and resetting something here, 2/3 of my friends that I have now, I might not even know. Some of my best friends I've met in the last 5 years. So how can I say I want to go back and relive something and do it over again? I can't answer that question. I don't know. I don't think anybody can tell that. Are there things that have happened in my life that I would have preferred them not to have happened? Of course there are. I think that's the case in everybody's life. But I can't worry about that. That's old news. That's why when you're basically driving in a car, you look at the windshield, you're looking forward, you got a big windshield. Up there, there's a little bitty rearview mirror. That's where you've been. That's why it's a little bitty. You don't need to go back and revisit it. So the key here that I'm trying to impress upon us is that when we're going into time strategies, when we're making useful habits, we have to be very positive about those habits. And habits are very hard to get started. There's no question about it. Ask anybody that's done a New Year's resolution. If you've listened to the show before, when I talked the first couple of weeks in January, and I don't, and we won't go into the full detail. I don't do New Year's resolutions. They don't work. There's so many reasons why they don't work. and they don't mean anything. So why do them at all? I'd much rather sit down and do my goals. Sorry, had to bring that in and work towards those. And I'm very specific a lot of times. Now, my goals are divided up into groups. I have life goals. I have personal goals. I have family goals. They do intersect. I have other responsibilities besides my coaching practice that I have to take care of. Both some of them are internal to the family and some are external to the family. Some of them are not in play right now because I'm sitting kind of on the sideline waiting for something to happen. And when that happens, that kicks in another piece that I have to then take into account and will have to adjust my time. And so those are all issues that you have to revolve around when you start planning your time. So how do you go about changing that whole factor? Well, it's you've got to look and figure out what's important to you. I design my day or my week in what's important to me. I have certain times that I have to take personal time for to do family things. I work for myself. I have no employees. I don't always have the luxury of being able to do things on the weekend because some businesses that I deal with that are from a personal standpoint aren't open on the weekends. So how do I handle all that? Well, I have to take time out. So I block time out of my calendar. I actually physically go in and put, that's my time. Now, does that mean I can't move it? No, it doesn't mean I can't move it. But sometimes it depends on what else I'm working on. If I have an issue with a client or a new prospect that's more important than my personal time, sure, I'll move my personal time. But on the other hand, if I have to move personal time into my work time because of a commitment I have to have made of things that I have to get done, I have to do that. I have to be flexible in that. But it's very important. I'm a firm believer in I can't say making lists work, but kind of making ideas work. So I always look at things the night before. What needs to be done the next morning? I always look at my calendar. I have missed appointments because sometimes my calendars don't always sync with each other. So I've gotten more careful in making sure. And yes, unfortunately, I have more than one calendar. And it's just the nature of the beast. And there's still yet no way that I have found that makes these calendars work perfectly all the time. Someday somebody will invent a perfect calendar, at least a perfect syncing calendar, so that they all sync for everything you do, and that will solve a lot of issues. But that being said, I look at my calendar the night before to see what do I have planned? What time does my day start? Now, by now, I've been doing a lot of it on a regular basis. I know ahead of time. I know tomorrow I have a 7:30 breakfast meeting. So I have to be up at 5:45 is my Monday time. I have to be up at 5:45. This Friday, I have a 7 a.m. meeting that I go to. I have to be up. I can probably get up at 5:45. I'll probably push it back to 5:30 so that I can get up because I have to get up because of where that meeting is located. It'll take me 30 minutes or more to get to it. So if I don't leave the house by 6:20 at the latest, I'm going to be late just because of traffic. These are all things I have to plan. Now, what do I do in the car while I'm in traffic? I'll listen to podcasts occasionally. Other times I don't want to have to concentrate on that and pay it so that I can pay attention to the traffic. I'll just put music on. But that way I'm at least somewhat productive. I'm not going to put music on that'll put me to sleep. Of course not. I talk to people a lot of times that one of the things I like to do is read, and I don't read enough. I would love to read, be able to read more often. And there are certain things that I, at times that I do give up because I don't read enough. But a friend of mine a couple of years ago suggested that take any business book you see. Most business books are less than 300 pages. Read 10 pages a day. You read 10 pages a day every day. And in 30 days, you have read a business book, and more than likely less than 30 days. Based on that fact, I can read 12 business books or 12 books almost of any size in less than a year. That's perfect for me. Think about that. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist. You're listening on OTR-FM, Home Times Radio, and we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
Ohm Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Ohm Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Being a radio host on iOhm FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
You're listening to Elliot Jolish on the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist, and we've been talking about time strategies and how they pertain to your business and your personal life and how they are used with your goal setting. And I want to get more into time strategies a little bit in this last section. The important thing of recognizing any type of time strategies program is, and all right, this is going to be a tongue-in-cheek here, it takes time to implement. It does, but you have to work it. You have to figure out what works for you. And there are a dozen different programs out there. Time blocking, just making lists, putting it in a calendar. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to do this. All should be pointed towards accomplishments and goals. Whether you write things down that you're going to do on a daily basis and you scratch them off, or you put... One of the problems I have is I always have a long-term list. Some of those long-term lists will be little things that I can take care of. One of the worst time killers there is email. I abhor email at times. I always am behind in email because I can never stay up to date in it. I have done some things to make it better. I try to go through all my emails at least on an annual basis and figure out who do I not need to listen to anymore or what emails do I not need to get. And I unsubscribe from them. Now that doesn't mean, now here's an issue. I'm going to say 85% of the time, if I unsubscribe, the unsubscribe works. And the other 15% of the time it's bogus. And unfortunately I don't know anything that you can do about that except to put them in a spam folder, and that will get rid of them. That also creates a problem if you ever do want to get mail from them again, because you'll have to remember them in the spam folder and take them out. But that's okay. So one of the philosophies I always do with any kind of time planning or time strategies is basically when you start to get organized, you've got the three Ds. And when you look at something, particularly if it comes into email, it's very simple. The three Ds are simple. You do it, you delegate it, or you dump it. Now, what's the issue on delegating it if you're a sole entrepreneur. If you work for yourself and you have no employees, how do you delegate? Aha, I have an answer for that. One of the things I always suggest to people is you go look and list all of the different responsibilities and activities that you do and determine, what do I like to do the most? What's my sweet spot? What do I love to do and don't care how long it takes me to get it done, and I'm very good at it and it's productive, which means the bottom line is I make money out of it. That's what you're going to spend most of your time on. Everything else can be delegated to a third party, whether you hire it or outsource it. Now, if you're a bookkeeper and you're promoting bookkeeping, yeah, of course, you're going to probably do your own bookkeeping if you like it. But if you're not a bookkeeper, why do your own bookkeeping? Okay, can't afford to have anybody else do it. That's fine. Then set aside a time, whether it be 15 minutes a day, an hour a week, you name the figure out what it takes, and that's all you do. You handle all your bookkeeping during that time frame. You don't do it any other time. Somebody calls you up, needs a check. I have that check scheduled for you when I do my bookkeeping next, which will be Friday at 9 o'clock. It'll go out in the mail that day, or I'll send it electronically. Most people will recognize that because, A, you gave them a specific answer. Another time waster. So you want to, let me go back here to the 3 D's again. You want to do it, you want to delegate it, or you want to dump it. If you don't need it, delete it. Now, I've actually added a third or fourth item in there, and I hesitate it at times, and there are times that I won't use it, but that's a file it. I come across articles that I don't have time to read, but they're interesting enough that I want to follow up with them. And I'll put it in a file it. And I have a category, a folder called articles to follow up on. Either because it's gained my interest, it's somebody I follow, or it's something either I want to know more about or something that I want to write for my clients, for my newsletter. So you've got to be careful. You've got to go through it occasionally. I try to go through it every quarter, review what I put in there, and determine, is this something I really still want to know about, or is it now of no interest, and then I delete it. So I get back to it. So the end goal, which I'm going to get to someday, is that at the end of every day, I have nothing in my inbox because I either did it, dumped it, or delegated it. Now, I'm a sole entrepreneur. My delegation is to third-party sources. That's why Fiverr exists. That's why Thumbtack exists. And they don't have to be Fiverr or Thumbtack. It can be somebody in your local area. I have a local printer. Any type of print jobs I need, I can email to him. If I need him to do copy for me or some type of layout, I'll email a description with a base layout or a sample or something similar. I said, hey, use this sample. Here's the text that goes in it. Send it back to me. And usually after 2 or 3 attempts, we've got it right. Takes a couple of days occasionally, depending sometimes because he's backed up with other clients, it'll take a couple of days longer. I usually allow him up to a week. I never try to do last minute. Sometimes you have to. But those are all issues of being able to delegate it to somebody else. It takes it off my plate, and then I can concentrate on the areas that I appreciate and can productively turn into sales. That's the bottom line. Email, again, one of those horrible things. The other things that are horrible is your cell phone and the voicemail. And texting has become impossible. There are times that I will go in. I won't turn my phone off. I have thought about it at times, but I will turn it into do not disturb mode. So when it's in do not disturb mode, I have it set so that nothing interrupts me except a certain few people that have the privilege that if they're calling, it's urgent. And they know that. And they're allowed one, oops, it's not urgent. and I've published some of my information for people to know. I have a calendar that people can go look at to book my time. It's not always 100% accurate because occasionally I book off the calendar. But those are issues I have to deal with. That's my issue, not anybody else's. I've got an email right here that I'm going to deal with here after we're done here in a few minutes, where I have to guy wants to have coffee with me. I've got to go back and figure out where I know him from. I do know I met him. He's a potential prospect, and he certainly could be a joint venture partner. So I'll refer. I'll look at my calendar for next week, and we'll set up for a 30-minute or a 45-minute coffee break somewhere. Because I work out of my house. It common knowledge here from my standpoint. So I always meet people in their office or at a local coffee shop. So it's all important that you figure out how to best understand this time strategies. And the most important thing that I can impart to you as far as what do I do? You know, everybody says, I don't have enough time. Learn to say no. Absolutely guaranteed, learn to say no. Now, there's another factor. We probably won't have enough time for it. I'll go into a little brief thing is learn how to use voicemail better. It really annoys me when I get a call from somebody. Hey, Elliot, this is John. Give me a call. Okay. John who? Just because your number popped up on my screen does not mean I necessarily paid attention to it. So then I have to go dig and figure out who it is. Give me your name. Give me who you're with. Now, there's certain people I know, but give me your name, who you're with, a phone number, and why you are calling me. Absolutely why you're calling me. And if it's something that I can take and handle without having to talk to you in person, I can handle it and talk to you. You know, in a business environment, particularly, I tell people all the time, if you're calling somebody for a report, tell them what you need and why you need it and when you need it. Give them all the details. Then they don't have to call you back and get more information unless you've left something out. Make that email basically equivalent to you writing them. Make that voicemail equivalent to an email with all the details. And if there's so many details that you can't explain it in a voicemail, don't voicemail. Sit down and write an email. And I used to get, I don't get this question anymore, but I don't have somebody's email. Pick up the phone and call them. Hey, John, this is Elliot over at you know, South by Southwest, whatever company. I need your email address so I can send you some information about a report I need. Can you send me back an email? My email address is, or give me a call back with your email address. Thanks. And here's my number. I always give my name and my phone number at the beginning of a meeting, at the beginning of a message and who I'm with. And I always give my same thing for information, name, phone number, and who I'm with at the end of the message. Because you hear it first, and then you're waiting to listen, or you hear it first and you say, I got to go answer him. So you're not listening. Then all of a sudden you start listening again. And they says, who am I talking with? And then at the end, they don't have to go back and listen to the message again. And slow down your talking. Don't say, hey, this is Elliot. Give me a call at 555-1212. Most time people will not hear that. Hey, this is Elliot. When you get a minute, can you give me a call? I need some more information about this project. And be specific. My number is 515-222-1212. Again, that number is 515-222-1212. And here we are. We're out of time again. I know it. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Hey, I had a thrill today. We've got a lot more to talk about. I'll continue talking about time management in our next program. And we'll talk about time management several times over the rest of this year. I want to thank you for listening to me. I hope you'll join me on a regular basis. Again, this is Elliot Jolish. You've been listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist. Hey, reach out to me and give me, if you have questions or just tell me you're a listener, at questions@ecjgroup.com. And I'd be happy to reach back to you give you a short session if you have questions. So until next time, thanks for listening. Again, this is Elliot Jolish. You've been listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour on OTRFM. And we'll see you real soon. Take care.
You're listening to
OTR-FM.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. Americans in 12 states are voting in the so-called Super Tuesday elections, the most significant day so far in the process to determine who will be the country's next president. The states voting stretch from Vermont and Massachusetts in the north to Georgia and Texas, home state of Republican contender Ted Cruz, in the south. Virginia, often seen as a swing state that veers between leaning Republican and Democratic, is also holding elections. Voters at one polling station there shared the campaign issues that are most important to them.
So number one for me is where they